All right, that's good. Welcome online. We're so glad to have you here. I hope you're still with us. Did you know that you have a war going on inside of you? You have a war going on right inside. There's a full-blown battle being raged. But I'm guessing you already know that, right? I'm guessing you feel the heat of the battle. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes. Or maybe you're in a season where you're feeling it most of the time. You are aware that there are two sides fighting it out within your heart. So I want to encourage you today. I want you to hear this, especially if you're in one of those seasons where you feel like the battle is raging. It's tough. I want to encourage you with this. You can beat the opposition. You can win the war. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that is what we're talking about in this series, about freedom. It is for freedom. Say freedom. Freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So you are here today because of freedom. So if you've got Christ, the good news is you've got freedom. And though the battle is going on, you actually have the battle plan for victory. The Apostle Paul, he writes, you have been called to live in freedom. You have a plan. It is to live in freedom. So the battle's going on. What's at the heart of this battle? Well, it's actually pretty quite simple. Two things. That's really what you need to know. One thing, following Jesus' way of life, that's one way. Following your own way, that's the other. That's the battle. Following Jesus' way, God's way. Following your own way. So let me break this down a little more. It's doing things, right? Because we want to be practical. It's about doing things God's way or doing things your own way. The Bible says doing things God's way, the right way, or doing things our own way, the wrong way. And of course, when this all shakes out, I believe that you are here, you're watching online, because you have a deep desire to actually do it the right way. You want your life to be done right. You want to glorify God. You want to follow God's way. That's why we're here. And we believe, you know, if you believe that God wants the best possible life for you, then You can trust that God is a good God. He's a good Father, and He has the best way for you. His way is actually going to be the best life that you can live, and that's what you want. The Bible says you are set free so that you can follow God's way. So if that's what we want, if that's what the Bible says, then why is it so hard? Why do we struggle so much with living the right way? Because you got a battle going on inside of you. So you know what I'm talking about when you want to do something right? Then there always seems to be something that resists that, right? You know what you're supposed to do, but there's something that you want to do instead, something else. What is that? What's going on? Well, it's the battle inside. Two opposing forces, God's way, your way. The Apostle Paul calls these two sides, God's way, the way of the Spirit, and in the Scripture today, the way of the sinful nature, your own way. So it's the way of life, it's the way of death. It's the victory way, it's the defeated way. It's the right way, it's the wrong way. So let's read this again in Galatians 5:17 to see what's going on here, because I'm trusting, you know what I'm talking about. You feel the battle going on inside. He says, the sinful nature wants to do evil. So here's the thing. The sinful nature is something that we all experience. Doesn't matter if you're brand new to following Jesus, if you have not yet followed Jesus, if you are a lifelong follower of Jesus, the sinful nature is something we all have. And what does it want to do? It wants to do evil. The sinful nature wants to do evil. So what does the sinful nature want to do? Evil. There's a clear temptation that's going on in our lives. It's happening in you. The Apostle Paul seems to say it's ongoing. It's like it's not just one thing that happens a little bit, but it's something that is constantly happening in our lives. There's this wanting within us to do things that we know are not God's way. You have it. I have it. We all have it. We're tempted. We know what that bad stuff is. Chances are I'm not needing to point anything out today. We already have a clear understanding. It's those things that we, you know, we feel compelled to do, even though we know they're not the right things to do, which is just the opposite, the scripture says, of what the Spirit wants. So the sinful nature wants to do evil. The Holy Spirit leads us in the exact opposite of what that is. So the battle goes on. Sinful nature wants the bad stuff. The Spirit wants us walking in the good stuff. And for some of you, this is like a big eye-opener today. Possibly you're going, oh, I get it. I was wondering why I was having all those weird, strange ideas that Christians aren't supposed to have. I always thought something was wrong with me. That I know I'm supposed to do the good stuff, but I just keep thinking about all that other stuff. Actually keep stepping into that other stuff. So here's what's going on. The apostle says in verse 17, and the Spirit, so we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other out. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. That's a little startling to me because I thought we were talking about freedom here, right? We're set free. So the scripture is telling us now, way in chapter 5 of this book, that it says we're not free to carry out our good intentions. So you know what to do, but it's just not happening. You know what you want to do, but you know you're not able to do it anyway. It's like we're stuck. The stuff's rolling in our heads. What's going on? What's going on? The battle. The battle's going on. We just heard all the wonderful things about Moose, and it is an amazing, amazing trip. God does some marvelous things in there. But you know, for a pastor who is older than most of the youth pastors there, laying on the middle of the gym floor with a brand new air mattress that 1 hour in you realize is not maybe brand new because you find yourself just laying on the gym floor. 89 degrees would have been cool. It was hot. And as I had mentioned before, you know, we were making some friends at 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, I just have to tell you, there's a battle going on inside of me, right? You know, I know all these good things like passion, compassion, you know, the idea of patience and understanding, mercy, all good stuff, right? But you know, that is not the forefront thing on my mind at that moment in the gym. The sinful nature is starting to work. I'm losing patience. So what do you do? Maybe you know that feeling. You're in your own battle, right? You know that feeling. What do? You have the battle. I have the battle. It's a huge struggle. So how do we win the battle? Well, there's only one way. One way to win. And it's not by working harder at being good. The Apostle Paul already went through that in his message. He told us if we could do that on our own, if we could follow all the commands and get that right, and we could do that, then there was no need for Christ to die. We would have no need for faith in Christ. He says the answer is you can't do that. That's why we need the cross. That's why we need what Paul's talking about here. So what do? Well, we trust Jesus. We need Jesus. So then when we trust Jesus, there's something that takes place. There's something that happens. When we trust Jesus, we are filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We actually have God now living inside of us so that we can do what's right. We're actually now free to do what is right. The Apostle says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. In other words, you're not under that obligation that says you got to do this or else. If you're a Jesus follower, brand new, been doing it for a while, hanging around, been doing it all your life, this is the same for everyone. You and I, we all need to get this because we all know the battle. It's real. So what are we going to do? Well, when we follow the nature, the desires of the sinful nature, the results are very clear. Morgan read this for us. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. You know, those things that are actually passions in our lives, but they're turned away from what God wants in our lives. And they begin to taint and tarnish. You know what those are. It's a big deal in our culture today. They lead us away from life in the Spirit. They lead us away from that relationship with God. They lead us away from that deep spiritual relationship with God and one another. He goes on to say idolatry, sorcery, you know, dabbling in things that, again, are leading us away from Christ. And they're all around us in our culture today. We know what they are. Hostility, when we're following that sinful nature, when we are following those desires that are not of God, it ends up resulting in hostility and quarreling and jealousy and outbursts of anger. Maybe some of you struggle with that. It's hard. When we're following the sinful nature. He talks about selfish ambition, dissensions, division. Man, are those around us today, right? And envy. I gotta say, when I was laying on my flat mattress, and I looked over and saw this cool youth pastor with one of those double mattresses. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? And sitting beside the fan. I was struggling with envy. You know, that sinful nature was at work. At Moose, imagine. Selfish ambition. Drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like that. You know, the list goes on. This isn't a complete list, but we know that what those sins are. We know what we struggle with. We all do. The apostle says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not know that freedom that is in Christ. They will not know the things of God, will not have the ultimate relationship, will not have that longing, that life that God has given them. You know, I want to be careful here, because you're thinking, this is actually maybe what your life looks like right now. You're feeling like this is it. And you're thinking, does that mean I'm out? I mean, I got some of this. Does that mean I'm out? You know, it doesn't mean those that are following Jesus are, you know, we mess up sometimes. We all do. That doesn't mean you're out. That's what forgiveness is. That's what repentance is. That's what turning back to God is all about. But he's talking about, if this is all that's in your life, then maybe there's something missing. Maybe you're not walking with the Spirit. Maybe you're not a believer. Because he says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against such things. You see, the Spirit is not going to lead us in those ways that oppose God. We said this battle's going on. The Spirit is going to lead us in the good way, the way of God. So when the Spirit is at work in our lives, we begin to experience all those things that reflect godly character. Because here's why. It is not us doing it anymore. Instead, it is God at work in our lives producing that fruit. This is God's character: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's God's character, and it is God who is producing it in your life. So what's the result? He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. In other words, on the cross, the battle is won. Those passions and desires have been nailed to the cross. They have been crucified. Crucified means wiped out, dead, finished, done. And when that's done, what's left? Not the sinful nature, but the fruit of the Spirit. What God is producing in your life. When it's nailed to the cross, it is finished. Those passions and desires have been buried with Christ. And what's left? The fruit of the Spirit. God at work in your life. The apostle says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. There's a battle going on. The choice is yours. Live by the flesh or live by the Spirit. And let God produce the fruit. I'm going to invite my sister Susan to come up as she shares some of this life in the Spirit, fruit that comes by following God. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Glad to have you here.
It's so good to be here. It's been a really great couple of weeks being able to share and connect with you here in the church and connect with family. Ricky even got to go bowling with the group on the middle of the week. So amazing. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives is an amazing walk. Not always easy, as you know, but it's an amazing life. In 1989, that life took us from farmers in rural Minnesota to a calling in Belize, Central America. And it wasn't something I expected. It was the Lord's calling, and it was amazing. We did a discipleship training school and then an outreach to Belize. And when I got off that plane and hit that humidity and that heat, I go, I could never live in a place like this. Well, that's 33 years ago, and that's home to me. So that is life by the Spirit. And often He will put things before us that we don't even expect. Amazing things, sometimes challenging things. In the mid-90s, He began to speak to us about taking in children that were malnutrition and neglect children in the foster care program. And my first response was, that wasn't part of my plan, God. And I don't think so. So He actually kept speaking to me by the Spirit, drawing us that way. And then I got to the point where I said, okay, God, my answer is yes. And just guard my heart in this, because when you become close with kids that you're nurturing, if they go back into other situations, you know, that's not always easy. So within 3 weeks, the Lord brought the first baby, and within 5 years, we fostered 9 malnutrition and neglect babies. So the picture is, this is most of my family right there. The youngest are 22, and now we have grandbabies in Belize. So 7 of those kids stayed with us and are my family. So living by the Spirit also is part of how these kids came into our home. One morning, got up and really felt this strong impression. We need to go check on a baby that we had heard about but never seen. But it was specifically that morning, go check. And when we went into town, we went by that house and there was nobody home. So we went on with our shopping and stepped in at the pharmacy. And here walks in that mom and she says, I just took my baby to the hospital. She's very sick. And the baby was not getting the right food nor the right medication, and this had been an ongoing problem. So this baby now is one of my girls, and she just last week finished her last classes for a bachelor's in social work with an emphasis toward counseling. So life by the Spirit is amazing. there's fruit of God's love. There's fruit of God's faithfulness. Like Tim is saying, there's those times it's a battle. There's those times it's difficult. There's those times when you don't know how it's going to work. But you keep going to him, and he makes a way. Galatians, I love this book of Galatians. There's so much richness the Lord has spoken to me over the years. In Galatians 3, you guys touched on a couple weeks ago. It says in Galatians 3, verse 3, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Verse 5, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Do you think that was easy for Abraham to step out? The circumstances did not look like that was a good thing. To step out, go cross country, you never know what is going to happen. So often, if we are going to be led by the Spirit, our circumstances are not going to necessarily line up with what God is saying. Abraham did that because he had a relationship with God, and there was trust there with him. We develop that trust. We grow in that relationship. I can believe God for things right now that I probably couldn't have earlier on because we've developed that level of trust. He's shared with me things, I've stepped out, and he's proven it. You do that in big ways, and you do that in little ways. For me, our gas is nearly $9 US a gallon right now. So I think this is cheap gas. Last year in September, the Holy Spirit led me, and some people gave some very generous gifts, and I was able to have a 2002 Ford Expedition. I need that sturdy of a vehicle for my rough road conditions. When you're driving at 5 miles an hour as the speed of my idle, and I have to ride the brakes because the roads are too rough, that's rough road. So I converted that vehicle to propane last September, not knowing that these prices were going to go so high. So living by the Spirit meant, yeah, trusting God for a provision and moving when I had that opportunity. And now I can carry people to, most people don't have vehicles. And so I can carry people to our school, to the classes, to church, the shopping and helps. During COVID, I did a lot of running and helping with that vehicle. And so, life by the Spirit sometimes is, the vehicle doesn't work. The butane just knocked out. It's 3.5 hours to the guy that can service that. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I do not know what is wrong with this thing. I open up the hood, couldn't figure it out, came back one more time. Holy Spirit, I really need you to show me what is wrong with this vehicle. And I noticed a little spot of yellow in the back where they had the butane unit. And there was 4 plugs there. And my eyes went on this one little plug where the yellow was showing, and it had come out and loosened on our rough roads out of the socket. I just popped that thing back in, and it took off and went. I would have driven 3.5 hours on gas prices to try to get that fixed. But the Holy Spirit was there to show me. So whether it's in those small things where you're building trust with him, or whether it's in the big things, like children's lives. He's amazing. I think one of the biggest things that we need to do more of is ask God more questions. We're developing a relationship, but we also are giving him an opportunity to prove himself. He is, for example, I felt like the Lord was telling me to travel now. And I looked at tickets the end of May, and the first ticket I looked at was an amazing ticket, an amazing price, but I didn't have any money for it, and I didn't have a credit card to fall back on. So I said, Father, what are we doing here? And I went and opened my emails, and some finances that had been held up for the last year and a half, there was an email, it's gone to deposit, and it was within $40 of the two tickets. So that's why I'm standing here today. My Father makes a way for me. I ask him when and how, and he opens doors. Also, there's pictures of land there. I've never owned property. I've moved many, many times. We've sought it. I had a promise from 2007. I will appoint a place for you, 2 Samuel 7:10. I will appoint a place for you, and I will plant you, that you may dwell in a place of your own and move no more. And there's just a whole supernatural story how this property came into our hands, and how there's pictures in the back of our floor plan of a house that is going to be built, and a team that is going to be coming to help with that project. So once you begin to walk in the Spirit and find these fruits of the Spirit and develop this relationship with God, it is so sweet. You don't want to break that relationship. You don't want to do those things of the flesh that would break or sever that relationship with Him. So I get the opportunity today to invite any that are interested to connect in a deeper way with Treasure Ministries in Belize. There's some different ways that can be done. The prayer is amazing. I've had a great chance to meet with the ladies. With the increase in the gas, our food prices, our prices are just skyrocketing. We need a few more monthly supporters to connect and help. We have a house and a team that's going to be worked on. Excuse me. But what I want to do is what we call in our school down there an activation. You need to ask Holy Spirit. You don't just do it because you feel like it. You ask Holy Spirit, are you calling me to connect in some level with this? Are you calling me to a team? You ask and invite Him to speak into that. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. A life by the Spirit is like that eagle. If you're flapping, as he takes off the ground, there's a lot of energy that's expended in flapping those wings. But then he'll catch a thermal, and he'll go to 10 to 20,000 feet. He'll cover 125 miles in 4 or 5 hours without resting. Because then he gets to the place where he's soaring. He's resting. A life in the Spirit is like that. We develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. We catch that wind of the Spirit. We find what he's doing. We ask what's on the Father's heart. We ask him the things that are facing us in that day. And then we catch that walk with the Spirit. And it's an amazing life, not always easy, but there's a purpose and a plan over each of your lives. There's a purpose and a plan over each of your lives. And today is a good day to take another step deeper in Him. Thank you.
Susan, hang for a moment. We'll pray together. Please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you for Susan, for her faithfulness, for Ricky being present with us here today, and for the work that you have been doing down in Belize in and through their lives and the connections that they have. Thank you, Lord, for, just, Lord, her influence in my life and allowing Lord instrumental in me being here and sharing life with all of you. So Lord, thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this this life that you have given. And I pray, Lord, that as we look forward, as we follow your Spirit, you will show us those connections and places to partner, Lord, ways that we can reach further and find more people becoming followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. So thank you, Lord. Again, we pray your blessing over Susan and Ricky and as they go in their travels. In Jesus' name, amen.